Shall we have a word of prayer? Lord Jesus, open up our hearts and our minds that you may teach us your way of compassion. In your name, amen. I guess I have to call it an eye-opening moment. Sudden change in a perspective that I had in life. And it all started out with me using a phrase, a quote that I had used many, many times before. And it comes from a French comedian and musician dating back, I think, to the 20s and the 30s. His name is Maurice Chevalier, if I pronounced it correctly. And his quote isn't particularly humorous, but I think it's one that makes you think. It simply says that aging is much better than the alternative. Not funny, but gives you pause. Well, on this particular day, I was having lunch with a group of friends, and part of that group was a man who I had just met. And in conversation, I learned that he was the primary caregiver of his wife, who had been very, very ill, seemingly almost 24/7, taking care of her every need, bathing, clothing, meals, medicine, trips to the doctors, the whole thing. And what was even worse for him is that he had to watch his wife slowly slip away, suffering. An illness that day by day took just a little bit more of her away. Now, I said he didn't regret his choice to take care of her at home. In fact, he said he felt very fortunate that he was able to shoulder that caring act for his wife. Yet, as some of you might guess, and I know some of you know this directly and personally, it was a pretty hard thing for him to do. Well, after lunch, I made that comment that I'd mentioned before, that aging is much better than the alternative. To which I heard him say softly to himself under his breath, "Not at all times." And suddenly realized what he meant. Aging for his wife simply meant more of a struggle. Not just for him, yes, but a struggle for his wife. You know, I've served in suburban parishes for most of my ministry. Congregations that are filled with a lot of transplants. And I mean, people who have moved into those communities, but more importantly, their extended family has been found elsewhere. Now, I know that many of you are in that same situation. You came to Circleville some time ago because that's what work led you to come. However, there's a decided difference between churches and communities in which you find extended families, children, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents. And what has always impressed me about these communities and our community here is the compassion that people have. Compassion that you have for a spouse, for an older or a less healthy family member, a compassion that takes care of those people in need. Many have committed yourself to making that care for members at home or at nursing homes. And that's a level of compassion, actions that are strong and very meaningful. Come away for a while and rest. That's what our Lord Jesus speaks in our gospel text. And put a little context, the disciples had just returned from a missionary journey. Earlier in Mark's gospel, Jesus sent them out two by two into the various villages and towns nearby. Jesus ordered them to take nothing with their journey except for a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, to wear a pair of sandals. Don't even put on two changes of clothes. And when they returned, Jesus looked at them. Jesus had this compassion for his disciples. And that's when he said, "Come away to a deserted place by yourselves and rest a while." An interesting statement. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure, not even to eat. You see, even the most caring people, even the most compassionate people, even the people who serve the most need a time to come away and to rest, and to recognize the importance of that. Well, you say, well, there's no rest for the weary. Well, Jesus found that out with his disciples. They were trying to find a way to get away from everything. They were on that boat. But it says in the text that the crowds recognized them and ran ahead across the shoreline to meet them and to greet them when they came to the shore. And then comes the more powerful passage for you and I to learn this morning. It's verse 34. As Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd and had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Compassion for others. Henry Nouwen was a Roman Catholic theologian. He's written many, many books. A landmark book of his is called The Wounded Healer. And in the book, he gives a good definition of compassion. He says, compassion is not pity. Pity lets us stay at a distance, and it's condescending. Compassion is not sympathy. Sympathy is for superiors over inferiors. Compassion is not charity. Charity is for the rich to continue their status over the poor. It says compassion is born of God. It means entering into other persons' problems. It means taking on the burdens of others. It means standing in another person's shoes. It is the opposite of professionalism. It is a humanizing way to deal with people. Well, that's the challenge you and I have from our gospel text. It is to rediscover the power of compassion. And as a community, you and I are challenged to see that we are called for care for those people and protect those people who are the least, the most vulnerable in our families and in our neighborhoods. That we may seek to follow the Good Shepherd. And in so doing, we might build a community of grace and love and compassion in which we follow God's life. Now, there are many examples within this community about compassion in action. And the one that came to mind as I was writing this was focusing on the day camp, Feed the Flock, that was just on this past Friday. And I don't know if you know, but Feed the Flock began as a vision for a handful of people, trying to see what we could do, what the congregation could do for children in our neighborhood, and realizing that elementary school students today are struggling with their grades. Well, this was a vision that was blessed by the Lord. And with much work, with a dedicated group of volunteers, relationships were made with the school systems, hurdles were faced and overcome, and that program ministry was put into place. An after-school tutoring ministry one day a week during the school year. Now, over the years, many, many people, many of you, have volunteered to become tutors, giving just a few hours of your time each week during the school year to help students with their math and their English skills. It's been for you a commitment with compassion, sharing your skills, but most importantly, your love to help children get better grades in school, to perform better. Now, in many ways, the commitment that you make is a small thing compared to what you receive in that action of giving. But all in all, it is compassion put into action. It is caring and accepting and loving. Yes, even sharing the love of Christ put into action. Now, Feed the Flock is by all means not the only ministry that we do here as a people of God. It is a compassion in which we follow our Lord, one who has compassion for us. As Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Now that's a powerful statement. It's powerful because Jesus says the same thing for you and I. So often, don't we feel lost? Don't we feel overwhelmed like sheep without a shepherd? We face struggles in life, from unemployment to illness to divorce to the growing restrictions that we have when we get older to caring for beloved family members. We can be lost in all of that pressure. Well, Jesus also looks and sees upon our lives. He looks into our eyes and he has compassion for us. And he acts on that. Not just to provide us with the strength and support we need now,
but that we need in the days ahead. Compassion in action. For you and me, that means that Christ willingly goes to the cross to suffer and to die for us because you and I need the strength that only He can provide. And even better than that death was a resurrection to new life, to new compassion that draws us into that strength, that life-changing strength and love that God fills us with. We are called to love others. We are called to love those who are powerless in our society, within our community. We are called to love those in need. That love finds itself in the compassionate act of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, in His name. Amen.